Well, a couple of years ago in the Drakensberg for the BizNews conference, Athol Trollope, the parliamentary head of Action SA, won the golf competition. He was in such good form at the time. He did meet someone else who was there, Paul O'Sullivan, another of the keynote speakers. And the two of them, well, I'm not sure if they got on well or badly, but my goodness, at the moment, there is a fracas of note. We'll find out from Trollope in a moment. Athol, did you get a chance in the Berg to actually meet Paul O'Sullivan?
Yes, I met him the first evening, obviously with Rob Herzog as well. Paul O'Sullivan, I think, did the fireside chat on the evening that I was there. And I listened to his chat. You'll remember he started telling us about how he was going to fly down and then couldn't fly for some reason and then had to drive down at some breakneck speed to get to the conference. So, yes, I did meet him briefly.
And what has happened subsequent to that? I think tell it in your own words, because there is the whole thing has now gone to the state that you've actually laid a criminal charge against Paul O'Sullivan, which many members of the BizNews tribe would find really surprising. But there's a big story here.
Yeah, there is a story. So, you know, I, like every other South African, was really surprised when I watched the press conference where Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi made the very serious allegations that he did against Minister of Police Senzo Mkunu and Shadrach Sibiya and various other high-ranking police officers. I then went on my social media platform, Twitter or X, and I said that these matters need to be investigated urgently because they're very serious allegations. And then Paul O'Sullivan also came on his platform and was making various allegations of his own. He basically was implying that it looked like a military coup and had various allegations to make about Mr. Mkhwanazi himself. I then went on social media and I said, you know, I don't know who has appointed Paul O'Sullivan as the spokesperson of the South African Police Services or the intelligence services, but his allegations as well as Mkhwanazi's allegations need to be investigated. And then later on during the week, more and more stuff was coming out. And obviously, O'Sullivan was making more comments. And then I basically repeated what I'd said about, you know, I don't know who has appointed him as a spokesperson. I don't believe he holds any official capacity in the South African Police Services. And later, my last comment was, I said, I don't know how he appears to have inveigled himself into being a spokesperson for the South African Police Services. Well, on Friday evening at about 20 past 8 on Friday evening, I've just had knee surgery, so I was at home recovering. And I started seeing these WhatsApp messages coming through around 3 a.m. in the morning. You know, Alec, once you've been in hospital, your sleeping patterns go for a Burton. And I was reading these messages from Paul O'Sullivan. They were absolutely astounding, and I'll read you some of them. He basically started saying to me, I'm looking at your misinformed attacks on me on social media. You're clearly an arrogant fool that doesn't have a clue about what you're doing. Mkhwanazi is one of the biggest criminals that ever wore a police uniform. His crimes, when finally exposed, will shock the nation. And he goes on and on. And then later, you know, he says things like, he's going to take me head on like he did when he's finished with Mkhwanazi and Masamola. I'm going to take you head on and see to it that the country knows that you support gangsters, which in my book makes you a criminal too. I will launch criminal charges against you for aiding and abetting gangsters. He then calls me a fool and a stupid idiot and says that, you know, if I support Mkhwanazi, I support criminals. And then I started responding to him. I wasn't going to take this lying down. And I said, I'm not taking these kind of threats lightly. And he went on and on, and then later wrote to Herman Mashaba, and then threatened Herman Mashaba and Action SA as well. And he said he would tell everyone he knows never to support Action SA again because this idiot of an Athol Trollope is like a ball and chain. And I'll read you some other choice things. When the time comes, you and Action SA will pay for your support of Mkhwanazi. you picked a fight with the wrong person, and you will realize when it's too late. And I wrote back to him, I said, more threats, even conveying threats to my party president. You've clearly become accustomed to threatening people. Well, your threats are like water off a duck's back to me, but it's something you really shouldn't go around doing. And as for calling people arrogant fools, etc., it's undesirable. And then he goes on and on. And today, just to cap it all off, he sent me a 3-page email, copied Herman Mashaba, Michael Beaumont, and our media manager in the party, basically repeating all these threats and allegations. And I just want to tell you, Alec, that I take these very seriously, because there is a Section 7 in the powers of privileges and immunities of Parliament and provincial legislatures, where it's a criminal act to prevent a member of Parliament from doing their work. Now, as far as I was concerned and am concerned, my comments on social media were that these allegations, both O'Sullivan's and Mkhwanazi's, need to be investigated. We need to get to the bottom of them as soon as possible. His response is completely over the top, and I really don't understand what has precipitated it. But he has made all sorts of threats that he's the wrong person to have picked a fight with. Well, I venture that he's also picked the wrong person to have a fight with now, because his commentary and his assertions are completely unpalatable. They do not match the profile that he certainly has as a regular BizNews presenter. And I think he's gone off on the deep end here, and he should have thought twice about threatening a member of parliament from doing their work.
Yeah, well, it is pretty strong stuff. Paul O'Sullivan's got a good track record, but I must say it's rather strange to hear him WhatsApping you at 3 a.m.
No, his WhatsApp came through at 20:22, and I was recovering, so I said my sleeping patterns were out. I only started reading them at 3 a.m. in the morning when I'd woken up, because, you know, you get woken up early in the morning in a hospital. So that's when I started reading them and started responding immediately to O'Sullivan. And he and I exchanged WhatsApps throughout the weekend and until this morning when he sent that long email. I'll send you the email as well, so you can have the email and WhatsApps on your record. But I really think Paul O'Sullivan is missing the plot here, and he's completely overreacted. And all I can keep thinking to myself is, there's an adage that says, if you want to know who the owner of the dog is, just kick it hard enough and the owner of the dog will come running. I don't know why Paul O'Sullivan has come running like this, when all I said was his allegations and Mkhwanazi's need to be investigated as a matter of urgency. Well, we now know that there's a commission of inquiry, and that will deliver, hopefully, some facts around this whole impasse in the police services. Hopefully, it will also deliver some facts around this impasse between Paul O'Sullivan and myself. I've just been to the police station. I've laid criminal charges, so it's not an idle threat. I told O'Sullivan that I was going to do that, and I've subsequently done that.
What happens now that you have laid criminal charges?
Well, it'll go to the Director of Public Prosecutions, and they will decide whether there's a case to prosecute. And if they believe there's a case to prosecute, they will proceed with the prosecution. I must say that Paul O'Sullivan, in his email to me, has written a long email to say that he too will lay criminal charges and expose the criminal that I am. And I can say one thing for sure, I might be a lot of things, but I'm not a criminal. And if I was a criminal, I wouldn't have been elected to office over 30 years in this country. I have no criminal record, never been charged for any criminal activity. But Paul O'Sullivan seems to think different, and I wish him all the best of luck going through my background to find any criminality. He won't find it. But when he makes allegations like that in public, and Alec, this is the real serious part, because I wrote to my attorney over the weekend, and I sent him O'Sullivan's intemperate messages, and I'll tell you what he said. He said the following. Good morning. In my view, the message received is vicious and amounts to inuria and possible extortion. If published by the author, it will result in defamation and substantial damages. A cautionary lawyer's letter would be appropriate for the author to cease and desist. Trustees, answers to your query. Now, up until this morning, he had been communicating with me privately on WhatsApp, and it wasn't a public communication. As soon as he sent the email with all the same threats and allegations of criminality and the fact that we, me and Action SA, support Mkhwanazi and his criminal activities. He then put it in the public domain because he sent it to Herman Mashaba, Michael Beaumont, and Matthew George, who is our media manager. So that is a public document. That too is with the police. It's part of my complaint with the police that he had sent me threatening and intimidating WhatsApp messages and subsequently sent me a threatening and intimidating email. And he had sent it to various other people. So it's now a public document. So Paul O'Sullivan has really challenged me, and I'm up for the challenge. I believe I've done absolutely nothing wrong. I know what I tweeted. It's on the record. I know exactly what I tweeted, and I said that his information and allegations must be tested, as must Mkhwanazi's. But I went further to say, who appointed him as the minister or police commissioner at large or the spokesperson for SAPS? Because I know that he holds no formal position in the South African police services. And I've often wondered about, I've heard him even at a Business News conference where he says he's going after people. He says it in my communication. He says, I'm going to go after you and I'm going to get you. As soon as I've got Masemola, as soon as I've got Mkhwanazi, I'm going to get you. Stop me if you can. Typical Paul O'Sullivan. It's exactly what he says always. And he said it to me. And I think that he's barking up the wrong tree here.
His record is very strong. He's the only person that we know anywhere in the world who's managed to get two police commissioners out of office. Is there not just a slight concern in your mind that maybe he's right about Mkhwanazi and that Mkhwanazi is not the angel that he appears to have been painted?
Alec, I want to make it perfectly clear. Nowhere in my statements or in the Action SA statements do we take Mkhwanazi's part. Nowhere. All I said is that the allegations he has made have to be taken seriously, as do the allegations made by O'Sullivan himself. I've never taken Mkhwanazi's side. I will not take Mkhwanazi's side. Why would I do that before the outcomes of a special commission of inquiry? I would never, ever do that. I'm not stupid. He happens to think I'm stupid. He calls me stupid. He calls me ignorant and calls me a criminal. That's fine. Those are his opinions. I know that I'm none of those. But I've never supported Mkhwanazi. Yes, our Action SA representatives at the time from KwaZulu-Natal went to the police headquarters to say that Mkhwanazi must not be made a scapegoat and he must not be threatened or taken out of the police services because he's made these allegations. That was their conviction. Our activists from KZN, they were at the police station in KZN. I never said anything about Mkhwanazi. And I think that is what's got Paul O'Sullivan hot under the collar and barking up the wrong tree. But he's barked up that tree now and he must deal with his actions.
I had a fascinating interview with the head of business in KwaZulu-Natal, Melanie Vaness, who's actually also the head of business of the business chambers in South Africa. And she says that KZN Business is 100% behind Mkhwanazi. Now, for your activist to be saying the same thing, it suggests there's something, he certainly has a lot of support on the ground, but one wonders what the other side of the story is here.
Well, look, I think there's a very deep story here. In 6 months' time, hopefully not much longer than that, we'll have the answers. But Alec, either Paul O'Sullivan has completely misread the mood of the nation in this matter, or Action SA and myself and everyone else and business are completely off their heads. The mood of the nation is that we've had enough of a corrupt police force. And whoever brings evidence to the fact that the police are tainted and that they are corrupt, whether the police minister or commissioners and brigadiers and generals and a whole lot of them, the sooner the better that it gets exposed. I think that is the mood of the nation. And if Paul O'Sullivan believes he has information to the contrary and that Mkhwanazi is actually the rotten egg or the rotten apple in the barrel, the sooner he brings that information to the fore, the better. But he mustn't start threatening public representatives for calling for an investigation. We want an investigation to air everything that Mkhwanazi has said and everything that anybody else wants to say and will say in this commission of inquiry.
Your response to Paul O'Sullivan has been very strong. Is this because you feel he wants to shut you up?
My response initially wasn't as strong as it got. It got much stronger over the course of the weekend and until this morning when I got this email. I mean, apart from Paul O'Sullivan misinterpreting what most people say, our media officer, when he put out a media alert, referred to him as a self-proclaimed forensic investigator. He took offense to that and said that he'd been called a self-appointed forensic investigator. I don't know what possessed Paul O'Sullivan to go after me like this, but nobody threatens me with my work, and nobody says they're going to take me down and call me a criminal. I'm not a criminal. I have a very proud record of public representation. I've been under the public scrutiny for 30 years of my life. Paul O'Sullivan or anybody else won't call me a criminal, and he'll have to substantiate those allegations because I'm now laid criminal charges. So he must go and substantiate it. I didn't say those things. He said them, and he must stand by his word, and we'll see what will happen.
It reminds me a little of what Warren Buffett used to do, and I say used to because he's now stopped having his annual general meeting in Berkshire, but he always used to show a movie of an hour before the AGM, and in there was a very important part where he says, if someone can lose me money, no problem, but if they attack my reputation, I will be ruthless in my response. Are you kind of taking a similar approach here?
Yeah, you know, Alec, I've sacrificed a hell of a lot in my life to be a public representative. You know, I've been paid as a public representative, as a mayor, as a leader of the opposition, and I'm now leader of a party in parliament. It hasn't been, you know, all for love and charity, but I've sacrificed a lot of family time. In fact, this weekend, while I'm recovering from knee surgery, I've been dealing with this attack by Paul O'Sullivan. And I take those things very seriously. And when somebody threatens me and my family and my political party, they're not going to get away with it very easily. And Paul O'Sullivan will learn. He says he's an Irishman and he's up for a fight. Well, I'm a South African and I'm up for a fight as well. And the only thing that I set everything by is my reputation. My reputation is as a public representative. I'm no longer a farmer. I have no other business interests. I am a public representative. And I have to fill in declarations. I have to stand up to public scrutiny. And I do that with pleasure. It's my honor. It's my reputation. And I'll defend it with everything I have. And Paul O'Sullivan is not going to take it away from me and call me a criminal without any justification whatsoever. Herman Mashaba wrote to him as well and said what he is saying is completely unjustifiable and that he must justify it if he can.
Ethel, just to close off with, what happens if Paul O'Sullivan is right and that General Mukwanazi is a massive criminal and the worst of them all, as he is alleging?
Well, I sincerely hope that every single rotten element in the South African police services will be exposed by this commission of inquiry. But let me just tell you something about these commission of inquiries. I read this weekend that Chief Justice Raymond Zondo said that it had pained him to swear in members of parliament into Cyril Ramaphosa's cabinet that he had found against in the Zondo Commission, that it had pained him to swear those people in as public representatives. Now, I have very little thin belief that this commission is going to expose all the rot. But I want to say categorically on the record for BizNews and for everybody else, if there is one rotten police person that is exposed by this whole expose, all the better. If there are more, and Mkhwanazi is one of them, so be it. Well done to the people who expose it. We can't afford one more day with a rotten police service. Too many South Africans live in fear in this country. Too many people are dying of drug abuse, and drugs get confiscated and they disappear and they get sold and back onto the street by police people. These are some of the allegations that Mkhwanazi has made. And if Mkhwanazi is corrupt, so be it. He must go to jail. Like ministers of cabinet, if they corrupt, they must go to jail. And that's my job. I'm going to continue doing my job until every last one of these corrupt people, politicians and policemen, are in jail. And I will do that as long as I've got breath in my body and as long as I've got the guts to be an elected public representative. I answer to the public. I don't answer to Paul O'Sullivan or anybody else. I answer to the public and my political party. And my political party is directly behind me on this matter. And I'm going to defend myself against Paul O'Sullivan's allegations. And I thank you, Alec. I sent you some of his WhatsApps, and immediately you gave me an opportunity to come on your show. I'm sure you'll give him an opportunity to do the same, and let's see where the chips fall. But these chips aren't going to blow away. They're going to fall somewhere, and I believe that Mr. O'Sullivan's going to come up short with these allegations of calling me a criminal.
Well, we have offered the platform or the right of reply to Paul O'Sullivan. In fact, ahead of you, your discussion, and he has decided, it appears, that he's going to just wait and then give everything to the Commission of Inquiry. And I suppose that's the obvious final question, Ethel. How confident are you that the Commission of Inquiry will come out with something meaningful, given that a number of the commissions thus far have not led to much action?
I must say, as I said, my confidence is thin. I know that we spent over R1 billion on the Zondo Commission. It had much higher profile than this Commission of Inquiry into the South African Police Services has got. So it won't have the same kind of media attention. Already the media attention is waning. So I'm not holding my breath. But I'm also a member of the Judicial Services Commission that appoints judges. And I think that judges also understand that this public scrutiny is very much on them. And I know one of the other commissioners, Advocate Sesi Baloyi, who's been appointed with Judge Matlanga. And I think they'll apply their minds. I think the real problem is when it gets to the president. We have a president that loves sitting on his hands and doesn't like to take action, as we've seen, you know, with members in his own cabinet. That's why I brought a constitutional amendment today in Parliament. We brought a constitutional amendment to do away with deputy ministers, because they are just completely redundant positions. They're like doormen and doorwomen of the ministers. We saw when the Minister of Police was placed on special leave, the president didn't appoint one of the deputy ministers because he obviously has no faith in them. So he appointed somebody outside of Parliament, Feroz Khachalia, and increased the size of his cabinet again, when all along he's been telling us he's going to reduce the size of cabinet. So we want to do away with these deputy minister positions, and also the fact that the president can appoint people that have got really dubious track records, like Thembi Simelane, the former Minister of Justice. When it was discovered that she'd taken a dodgy loan from VBS, all the president did was move her from being the Minister of Justice to the Minister of Housing. So the real problem is going to be, once the commission's done its work, what will Cyril Ramaphosa do with the evidence that he's put on his desk? And that's why it's so important to have public representatives like myself asking the questions in public and in Parliament about what is happening about this information, and not having people like Paul O'Sullivan trying to threaten me and shut me up from doing my work. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work.
Ethel Trollope is the parliamentary head.
It got.
Hey, I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.